Will you bow in prayer with me? Father, this morning as we worship you, we have proclaimed that you are glorious and mighty, you are omnipotent, you are sovereign, you are majestic, and you are holy. You are greatly to be praised and worshiped. We thank you that as we come now to remember Christ's death for our sins, that you loved us, you provided the way, and we have joy in that because of what you've done for us. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we prepare for communion today, I would like to direct your attention to the first five verses of the 32nd Psalm. Please listen as I read. How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is the man the Lord does not charge with sin, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. This is a Psalm of David. What do we know about David? We know that Scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. We know that as a young boy, by the power of God, he was able to slay the Philistine giant Goliath. We know that David, as commander of Israel's forces, was able to attain great victories for his nation. He was arguably the greatest king of Israel. Jesus in the Gospels is referred to as the son of David. And David was the human author of God-breathed scriptures like the psalm that we have just read. David was a despicable sinner. David had an adulterous affair with Uriah's wife. David tried to cover up that affair, but he wasn't successful. He failed in the cover-up. And so he had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, killed in battle and took her to be his wife. David experienced great success in life, but David also experienced the guilt and the sorrow of unconfessed sin. And he's describing both of those in Psalm 32. True joy comes from obtaining God's forgiveness, not in success, not in worldly wealth. True joy comes from being freed from sin. I love the way D.A. Carson phrased that when he commented on forgiveness this way. In a theistic universe where God keeps the books, it is difficult to imagine any greater blessedness. The sad tragedy is that when many people reflect on the fact that we must give an account to God, almost instinctively they do the wrong thing. They resolve to take the path to self-improvement. They resolve to turn over a new leaf or to do better. Even worse, they deny their sin and they add to their guilt the sin of deceit. The reality is we cannot hide from God. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He sees everything. We are delusional if we think that we can hide from him. There is only one way forward. We need forgiveness. It starts with confession. Look how David describes his condition when he kept silent. He says his bones became brittle. Some translations say wasted away. He was groaning all day long. Day and night, God's hand was heavy on him. His strength was drained as in the summer heat. And how did he escape this wretched condition? He tells us in verse 5. He acknowledged his sin to God. He did not conceal his iniquity. He confessed his transgression to the Lord. And God took away the guilt of his sin. He is freed from his guilt. And he expresses the joy, as in the first two verses that we read, how joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is the man the Lord does not charge with sin, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. The Apostle John gives a similar instruction in his first epistle. He says, if we say that we are without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to purify us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no sin that is too great to be covered by the shed blood of Jesus. And likewise, there is no sin so small that it can be overlooked by a perfectly righteous and holy God. If you're here today and you have never come to Christ in repentance and faith, you've never committed your life to Him as your personal Lord and Savior, please don't leave here today without talking to one of us about what that means, about how you can do with us, about how you can do that. The Scripture says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Those of us who have embraced Christ as our Lord and Savior and gratefully remember His death, His sacrifice, the fact that He paid the penalty for our sins, we eat the bread and we drink the cup as He instructed us to do. The bread represents His body, which was broken for our sins. The cup represents His shed blood. If you've committed your life to Christ and you're visiting with us today, please join us in this communion remembrance. If by your own admission you acknowledge that that is not something that you have yet done, we would ask you to simply pass the elements by as they come down your row, because this is a part of our service that is reserved for those who are His. As the servers come now, let's use this time to examine our hearts, to confess sin, and to express our gratitude for the joy that we can experience as forgiven sinners. When you're prepared, please feel free to take communion on your own today.